WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has been on Capitol Hill urging any lingering doubters among House Republicans to vote for the legislation he's called his big, beautiful bill to House Democrats.
Republicans are trying to jam this big, ugly bill down the throats of the American people.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries arguing that the bill cuts food and medical aid for the nation's poorest while handing the richest a big tax break. More tornadoes have ripped through the nation's midsection. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Blanco, Oklahoma.
455 damaging storm reports yesterday alone were in the town of Blanco, which got clipped by one of those tornadoes. Power lines down, debris just all over the place.
New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica McIver strongly disputes Justice Department charges that she assaulted a federal agent while attempting to visit an ICE facility in Newark, New Jersey. Here's CBS's Scott McFarland.
McIver calls this a purely political prosecution and says it was the agents who created an unnecessary and unsafe confrontation.
CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A recent study on state funding for public universities found that the universities of Wisconsin dropped another spot in 2024, making it one of the least state-funded public university systems in the country. The study ranked the universities of Wisconsin 44th out of all 50 states in public funding, as Governor Tony Evers and system officials seek a significant increase in the next biennial budget for a total of over $850 million. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has previously said the UW budget request is unlikely to be approved. Officials say Wisconsin collected nearly 57,000 pounds of unwanted prescription medication during Drug Takeback Day this spring, ranking it first in the country. The event takes place twice each year, and since it began in 2010, Wisconsin ranks third in the nation with nearly 1.37 million pounds of unwanted medications collected. Only Texas and California have collected more. In addition to the two Drug Takeback Day events, Wisconsin has over 500 permanent drug disposal boxes available, with locations listed on the DHS website. The Wisconsin State Senate has approved a number of bills aimed at supporting residents in the Northwest region. The four bills were authored by State Senator Romaine Quinn of Cameron and will now be sent to the State Assembly for further consideration. State Senator Quinn says the bills aim to protect consumers from predatory financial agreements, provide assistance for superior homeowners trying to replace lead service lines, support local counties with forest management by improving the job applicant pool, and improve efficiency in town governments. The city of Menominee is reminding residents that alternate side irrigation rules are now in effect. The rules are part of an effort to conserve water and prevent strain on the city's water system, especially during times of extended drought conditions. Even-numbered addresses will be allowed to water their lawns on even-numbered days, and odd-numbered addresses will be allowed to water their lawns on odd-numbered days. Residents should also remember to turn off their automatic sprinklers when rain does come through the area. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, for the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a 4-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple of years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. Now, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing in, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wet and windy today, with gusts approaching 50 miles per hour out of the east and soaking rain at times. A good 1 to 2 inches is possible. And high temperatures staying stuck to the mid-40s, plus wind chills on top of that. Showers linger through tomorrow, too, but we get a little warmer. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family-owned and operated for over 30 years. They specialize in residential and commercial projects. from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, two swell Appleton gentlemen join me in the studio. First, comedian Rob Breckenridge, then owner of Appleton Cigar, our pal Norm Kopesky, is here to talk about Smoke on the Fox.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, we're going to lighten things up. Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo is going to be joining us to talk about that wonderful facility, and they also have a new resident that I believe they're going to have a naming contest for, so we'll talk about that. And we'll end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hold the Onions edition, but right now, though, we're going to talk about more serious subjects. Missy Hughes is the Secretary for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Missy. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot hear you.
We cannot hear you. There we are. Gotcha.
There you go.
There we are.
Okay, do you have me now?
We have you now, yes.
Okay, great, great. And I'm sorry I'm not contributing to lightening things up, but hopefully we'll have a good conversation. No.
We save that for the last half hour of the show, Missy, no problem. So it's my understanding that you and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, you traveled around the state recently talking to folks about tariffs and what this is going to do to them, and especially to Wisconsin small businesses. So can you share a little bit, Missy, what you heard as you were traveling around Wisconsin?
Well, I'm hearing from all of Wisconsin's businesses, whether small or large, real concern over the tariffs and the impact that not only the tariffs will directly have on their businesses with increased costs, but also the potential impact on the economy in general and causing a slowdown in the economy that will impact all of our businesses.
I am curious if anyone you have heard from have said... have repeated Donald Trump, who said that companies pay tariffs, China will pay the tariffs, and then until, what, Friday, when he essentially said, yeah, Walmart should eat the tariffs because, you know, rather than pass the cost on to the consumers. So for me, that was the clarification that Americans are the ones who take the hit for tariffs. Do people understand that when you're talking to them?
Well, certainly the businesses are really the first line of understanding that. So let me give you an example. We have a coffee company located here in my town, Wonder State Coffee, that imports coffee from all around the world. And when the tariffs hit, Wonder State had containers of coffee on the, you know, on the ocean. And in order to bring those containers of coffee onshore and bring them to Wisconsin and process them here, they had to pay the tariffs. And, you know, that's not the country of Ethiopia or Colombia paying those tariffs. It's Wonder State. And they're trying to understand, how does this impact our business? Do we have to increase our cost to the consumers? Do we not hire the people we were thinking about hiring? Because we're in the middle of, they're growing like crazy, but they're really concerned, you know, maybe we can't hire. Maybe we have to charge more for our coffee in our shops or to our customers.
Well, and it is this uncertainty, and we've talked about this a lot. This causes problems for businesses large and small, as you've talked about, if you want to expand, if you want to hire. And the deals that we have right now are only temporary. So the deal that we have with China is only for 90 days. So how do you, now I get to plan for 90 days and then I have to wait and see what Donald Trump does next. And then we could have to, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. That's got to make people crazy.
Well, think about our small Main Street businesses. I've talked to restaurants that are already looking at increased costs. They're hearing from their distributors, from Cisco, you know, we're going to have increased costs for your plasticware, for your paperware. Those costs are happening right away. We have small retailers who only keep a few weeks worth of inventory. That's all they can afford to keep, you know, in their shops. And they're looking at July and August, their busiest times of the year, and saying, you know, I'm going to have to pay more for that inventory when it comes across in a few weeks. How am I going to afford that? How do I make it through the summer? Like all of our Wisconsin businesses that operate, you know, on our main streets, they're headed into the busiest season of the year. And with this uncertainty, they don't know what's going to happen.
We had the owner of Moore Bakery on, I believe it was last week, and she was talking to this thing right here, is that she has a very limited amount of supplies, and she actually cuts deals with her customers to say, if you order ahead of time and then I know exactly what I want, I'll give you a discount. If you don't, I have to charge you more because I don't know what you want, and therefore I have to plan for the unknown. And it's that sort of uncertainty that businesses do not like and enjoy. And I have to imagine with your travels around the state that it's just more of a, it's like, what are we going to do? I mean, I'm sure there are people who are frustrated, but it's just like, we just need some help. We just need some advice and guidance. And I feel like WEDC is there to help and guide, but from a nationwide level, there's not a lot of guidance. It's just roll with the punches.
And how cool is it that this bakery is trying to think about how can I manage around this uncertainty? How can I be creative and innovative? You know, we saw our businesses do that during the pandemic. They were incredibly innovative with curbside pickup. And, you know, think about all the crazy things that our businesses did. But they're tired.
Yeah.
And having to do this kind of work day in, day out. And if you think about a bakery, I don't know about you, but I consider a bakery kind of a luxury moment, right? And the customers are going to start thinking, well, maybe we won't have those extra muffins at our breakfast, or maybe, you know, I won't stop and pick that up. And all those little, somebody described it to me the other day as death by a thousand ducks nipping at you.
Yes.
And, you know, it's incredibly hard for these businesses. They're in a tough situation as it is. They're rolling up their sleeves, they're persevering day in and day out, but the ongoing uncertainty and, you know, planning for 90 days out, whether there's a deal or not a deal, is just incredibly hard.
I'm a small business owner as well. And one of the things that we talked about when we spoke to Will Sue, who is a ginseng farmer here in Wisconsin, is that what people don't realize is that small businesses from the beginning of the 20s, we got hit with the pandemic. Well, actually before that, the first tariff war and then the pandemic and now this. And it just seems like we're always trying to take off that mountain to be better and better. And there's always something holding us back. And it's no one wants a handout, but we just want some help. And what does the WEDC do to educate and find resources for those who are trying to just, you know, maybe it's finding grants or whatever? What does the WEDC do in that vein?
Well, you know, we really found that during the pandemic, we can be a trusted source of information for businesses. And that is our goal, first and foremost, right now, to have the information for businesses to understand what's the current state of affairs and how can we help make sure that you know what is truly happening right now and how to find your way through the kind of, you know, incredible amount of misinformation and true information that's happening. So that's what we try and do first and foremost. But I love that you brought up Will, because another thing we do is really help businesses explore other markets, so export markets. So I was actually just in China at the end of March talking about Will's incredible ginseng and how much China wants that ginseng. That's his primary market for American ginseng and especially Wisconsin ginseng. And so helping our companies reach different markets and think about how do I grow, how do I build that resiliency is something that's really important to WEDC. But, you know, the ginseng market is something that you really see caught in the middle of this tariff war and this ongoing trade war. And it's crazy because it's such an opportunity for us to be able to export ginseng to China and have a great market there. And we want to preserve that.
Well, and for folks who don't realize, and maybe you missed our conversation with Will Hsu, but Wisconsin is one of the main exporters of ginseng. That is a big business here in Wisconsin.
And it is the most desired and most the highest quality ginseng in the world. And so we want to make sure that it's able to be shared throughout the world.
And it's really labor intensive, too. It is. It's good heavens. They sing to those plants at night before they tuck them in. Missy Hughes is here. She's the secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And they have been traveling around the state talking to big businesses, small businesses about the state of affairs and the uncertainty surrounding the tariffs. Missy, during the pandemic, Governor Evers focused a lot on Main Street and keeping Main Street businesses alive. For people who may not realize, what part of the economy do small businesses play in Wisconsin's overall economy? How important is small business?
Well, people will often say that small businesses are the backbone of the economy. And I almost feel like it sounds trite. They are incredibly important, not only for the communities where those small businesses are located, but we all want to live in business in communities that are thriving, and that attracts big businesses. So without those small communities, without thriving Main Streets, people don't want to live here. They don't want to come and live in Wisconsin. So not only do they provide important tax revenue on a day-to-day basis, but they make the quality of life that we experience here in Wisconsin so valuable for the rest of the economy, because they create this place where we all want to live. I also am often reminded about how important small businesses are for teaching people about business, for kids who get to work in those small businesses. I just had a conversation with Blue Dog Cycle here in Viroqua, and they're talking about how the kids who come in and learn to work on their bikes, many of them have become mechanical engineers and other types of engineers because they love working with their hands. And they actually want to have like an alumni meeting of Blue Dog Cycle to be able to recognize how important it is that the kids who worked there have gone on to do things, great things with their life. And kids learn the importance of family businesses, of showing up, of working hard, of representing the business really well. So small businesses have this impact not only in tax revenue, but in the ongoing ripple effect that they have throughout the Wisconsin economy.
We hear so much about Wisconsin population, and Wisconsin's population is not growing like we would like to see it grow, and we need more people to move here. What would help the environment in Wisconsin to get more small businesses to relocate to Wisconsin, do you think?
Well, we really see that Wisconsin is actually trending positively. We have an increase in the number of people moving to Wisconsin, unlike our neighbors in the Midwest. Lots of states in the Midwest are losing people. We're gaining people. And we need to recognize that that's because we have these really vibrant communities, because we have great education systems, and we need to keep investing in those systems, in our housing. And I think that's what's really going to keep people here. If you can't keep people, you can't attract people. And so we have to see it that way, that how do we support our communities and how do we make sure that this is some place where people want to live? It's affordable housing, it's good schools, it's good roads. It's all of the things that are basic to Governor Evers' platform and the work that he's doing to make sure we're continuing to invest in our state.
That was one of my questions I wanted to ask, too. I mean, we have to go to a break in a little bit, but we do want to talk about the op-ed piece that you and Governor Evers did put in the Wisconsin State Journal as well, talking about a trip overseas to Europe to attract business to Wisconsin and watching a trade or tariff war unfold in real time before your eyes. So
we're going to continue our conversation with Missy Hughes, the secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
93.5 The Tap.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Missy Hughes, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
Yeah, and Missy, we mentioned it before in the previous segment, but you and Governor Evers wrote an op-ed, which appeared in the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday, titled "Trade Missions Strengthen Wisconsin's Global Ties in Uncertainty." And the background is that you, when we were first reaching out to you to be on the show, you and Governor Evers were overseas on a trade mission. You wanted to, the goal is to attract businesses to Wisconsin. And you talk to all different kinds of businesses of all different types of what, you know, the businesses they're involved in. But while this is happening, Trump's tariffs, that announcement happens. And it seems from when reading this article, it's like you're looking at your phones going, what is happening right now? How do we, but also you're talking to these groups about bringing business here. It reminds me of a movie where like someone said something really offensive in the background. They're going, well, we got to get going, looking at their watches. I mean, how did that, first of all, what was that like for you to see that? And also how was the interactions then after that to say, no, Wisconsin's still great. Stay, come here, talk to us. We are here for a reason. And you said that you were the only ones from Wisconsin at that conference.
Well, we had the opportunity to take a few Wisconsin companies to Germany to be able to visit a huge advanced manufacturing convention. And while we're there, not only are we trying to create opportunities for the companies that we take, but we're also talking to companies and countries that are interested in investing in the United States. Remember, the United States is the largest market in the world, and there's such huge opportunity. But our friends and our partners there were looking and saying, what's happening? I thought we were friends. It's, you know, it's like it, for you, Greg, you know, it's like you walk into a party and everybody's looking at you like,
what
you know,
did I do?
You kind of smell.
Am I wearing white after Labor Day? What's happening right now?
But, you know, it's amazing the opportunity that is offered by personal contact and by standing there and saying to them, yep, it's a little hectic right now, but Wisconsin is steady as she goes. It is a great place to land your business. And if you choose to come to Wisconsin, we will do everything we can to support your success. And it's amazing how much that kind of personal opportunity and personal connection can really help to soothe some of the uncertainty that people are seeing and really experiencing. It's really hard when, you know, I know that the Germans have been incredible longtime partners, and they're like, we weren't taking advantage of you. We thought we were working together. Why are you saying these things and emphasizing to them, like, you know, we are here to be your partners, to support your success, and what can we do together in the face of all this uncertainty and crazy? How do we work together and how do we move forward together? So it's a real actual opportunity to shake hands, to remind everybody that there are opportunities around business connections and student exchanges and cultural connections that we can make that kind of can live below the political, madness, for lack of a better word.
But I would think, too, that any possible new connections or new interest in moving a business here from overseas, that's got to be in their minds. That's got to be, well, we're going to hang back and wait and see what happens. Right.
For sure, Jane. The response that we were seeing was not only, we don't know what the tariffs are, we don't know what this, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. This is super uncertain. But also, again, what's going to happen with the overall economy? Are we headed into a recession? How can we assure success? And we are going to wait and see to what happens. And that's really hard to hear, especially when we had been on an incredible growth trajectory. Wisconsin's economy is incredibly strong. We saw really positive things happening. Why can't we keep that trend going?
Yeah, Wisconsin, and I've said this many times, we've said this many times on the show, Wisconsin fared much better than many other states during the pandemic. And a lot of that I credit to Governor Evers and his focus on Main Street businesses and helping keep them alive.
For sure. Working with Governor Evers during the pandemic, he was constantly asking me, Missy, what's happening on our main streets? How do we support our small businesses? How do we make sure they have what they need to keep going? And, but the same for me and for Governor Evers, we look at business large and small and say, how do we make sure they're successful, and really rolled up our sleeves to be as responsive as we could be during a really uncertain time.
In the 2 minutes we have left, I just want to ask a really quick question for those who aren't business owners but are concerned. What can our listeners or viewers, what can they do to help? Besides, I mean, of course, go there and patronize the business. But is there anything else we can do on this front to at least educate ourselves?
Well, I think really understanding the challenges that businesses are facing and thinking about how can I support them. But Greg and Jane, I don't want to gloss over. Shop local.
Yes.
Work with those communities and those businesses. Walk up and down your street and think, how can I, you know, patronize this business? Let's go and have a dinner there. Let's order a pizza from our local folks. Whatever we can do, that if your listeners can focus their efforts there, it's going to help Wisconsin in many, many different ways.
Missy Hughes is the secretary for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We will include the article that you and Governor Evers wrote in our show notes. If you ever want to check out the show notes, just go to our website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matinee on Air, and there will be at least 100 prior shows with all of Greg's show notes and all of the links in those articles. Missy, thank you so very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
News is coming up next, and when we return, we're talking all things Racine Zoo. Stay here. You're listening to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents not to release aquarium fish into local waterways. In a social media post on Friday, the agency released a picture of a goldfish that had been caught in the wild. They're reminding residents that introducing aquarium fish to the state's waterways could also introduce new diseases and disrupt the native ecosystem. DNR officials are also reminding residents that if they do catch a fish that doesn't belong in the waterway where it was caught, they should notify the agency with its location. Organizations that recruit and train ATV and UTV safety instructors and volunteer trail ambassadors could be eligible for funding from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The DNR is offering support through a two-year program and will accept applications until the end of the month. To be eligible for the funding, the organizations must be registered with the Wisconsin Secretary of State's office as a non-stock organization and have an established board of directors with a majority of the members being part of an ATV-UTV club. A public meeting on an upcoming road resurfacing project in Chippewa Falls will be held on Thursday afternoon. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers recently approved an over $2.5 million contract for the resurfacing project on Wisconsin 124 from Duncan Creek to Bridge Street, with construction work scheduled to begin on June 2nd. The chosen contractor for the project will host a public meeting at 4 p.m. on Thursday at City Hall to share details and work schedules with area residents. Wisconsin 124 will remain open to traffic during construction. Rehabilitation work is underway on a number of Barron County properties in an effort to upgrade 70 housing units across the area. Renovation projects are underway at buildings in Barron and Almena, with more planned for buildings in Turtle Lake, Prairie Farm, Dallas, and Haugen. A lack of housing has routinely been cited as an issue facing the workforce in the area, making it difficult for local organizations to recruit workers from other parts of the state. Barron County allocated $3.5 million of American Rescue Plan Act funding for the projects. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The early summer box office is not waiting for Tom Cruise and the new Mission Impossible to make some scratch. The final installment, Bloodlines, was well received, and that seemed to translate to box office numbers as the film pulled in $51 million at the gate domestically and topped $100 million worldwide. Despite its big ticket sales, it did cost $50 million to make, which is high for a horror film. Coming in second place was the Marvel film Thunderbolts, which pulled in just over $16 million at the box office in its third weekend. And right behind that was Ryan Coogler. Sinners, which has shown incredible legs, pulling in almost $16 million in its fifth week of release. Coming in fourth place was the Minecraft movie, and The Accountant 2 finished out the top five. And there's a pretty big film that opens in just 3 days, folks. Can you guess what it is? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wet and windy today with gusts approaching 50 miles per hour out of the east and soaking rain at times. A good 1 to 2 inches is possible. And high temperatures staying stuck to the mid-40s plus wind chills on top of that. Showers linger through tomorrow too, but we get a little warmer. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect to people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media. And the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Craig Buck, and Sweet Kelby on the board coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were supposed to be joined by Beth Haydorn from the Racine Zoo. Must have had our signals crossed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Beth unable to make it this morning. So we are doing what we call punting.
Vamping. Improv,
it's called,
baby.
Punt.
It's like free jazz.
And we're going to do a little audio sorbet that was kind of an unscheduled audio sorbet. Where we take a breath. It's a cleansing for your ears. Away from all the news and all the politics, and gives us a chance to talk about lighter, sillier things. And I saw this as we were putting the show together this morning. It is National Rescue Dog Day.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, I got to go get a cake now.
Chris Morrow, Civic Media sales manager, is in studio with us. You have a rescue dog.
Yep.
I know, Calvin, I believe you have a rescue dog. Lots of folks have rescue dogs. But it started us thinking about how we talk to our pets. Do you have a pet voice?
Yeah.
What is the voice you use when you talk to your pet? 855-752-4842. What is the voice you use when you talk to your pet? 855-75-CIVIC. We'd really like to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, you can put it in. You can text us, but
it's not the same. We want to hear how you talk to your pet.
Yeah,
because we all, I think most of us do it. I did when Barkley was still alive. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I've always used my own voice.
When you talk to
your
dog?
When I talk to the dog. Because she, you want her to know the tone of your voice. You want her to hear the words.
Right.
Sit, come, stay, eat, run, pee, all that stuff. So I just use my voice. I guess where I freak out, or people freak out when they hear us having a conversation, is the voice that she answers in.
She talks to you.
Of course
she does, course. Chris.
No. Breaking news. Wisconsin man has talking dog.
Let me just back away from you
a little bit. I think you'd be surprised. And when people call about how they talk to their dogs or cats, I'll bet you up to half of the people you talk to, their dogs answer them back in some kind of a dog voice. In a voice of some kind, a human-sounding voice.
So when you talk to Reagan, your dog.
Yeah.
How does Reagan sound when she talks
back
to you?
Reagan was rescued from Mississippi.
Okay.
So she's a southern dog. Mm-hmm. So when she got up here, she had a bit of a southern accent. So if I ask her, Reagan, you want to go outside? She'll be, yes, I do want to go outside, Daddy. Reagan, what do you want for dinner? I have me some crawfish or maybe some, she answers in a southern accent. And she comes to work here now and then. You've met her.
Oh, yes.
She hangs
around.
Great. It's about a 45-minute to an hour drive. We talk about traffic. I mean, she'll look out that back window. Watch out, there's big old truck coming, Daddy. You better not change lanes. So I'm glad my dash cam doesn't have audio.
Did your wife know you did this before you guys got married?
This wife did.
She did.
But I was actually broken up with by a woman before this wife, who heard me talk like that to my prior dogs. She looked at me and she went, are you talking to that dog? I said, yes. I've got to go.
This isn't going to work. Seriously.
And she was gone. She goes, you're nuts.
That's a bridge too far, having just a nice conversation with your pet.
I know.
Well, her loss.
Yeah, it was. And they never got along anyhow. So the dog just told me, glad she's gone.
Yeah.
I never like her anyway.
I never know. Well, that was well before Reagan. So that's a whole different voice
that
they won't bring up.
Yeah. What is your pet voice? Come on. You know you do it. We all do it. 855-752-4842. We would like to hear the voice you use when you talk to your pet. I always, when Barkley was still, it was puppy head. Puppy head. How's my puppy head?
Oh, okay.
You're such a good puppy. Who's my favorite puppy?
Shizu on the live stream says, it's a bit hard for me to call while working, but I tend to use a more cutesy voice with my rabbit, and it's rabbit and rat. They really get confused when I start talking to them in Chinese, though. I would think so. I told you off air before, we were just talking about this before, that my sister she has two dogs now, but she had her dog Maddie, who's still around, and when they got Maddie, she would do this voice that was like, and I would sit there and watch her and be like, you are an adult with a job. You have children, yes. You pay taxes.
And she's got a good job.
You sound like a crazy person right now. All in my head. I never said it out loud because I fear her. And I was like, that's just, I don't understand why she would, it's so dumb. I am telling you right now, if there was a listening device in my home, they would think I was crazy because I'm just like, who's a sweet bubba girl? I love the bubba girl so much. I mean, but it's something about that too, Chris, that you said that as you're like, I want her to know my voice. So when I give her commands, she, now granted, I don't say like, oh, do you want to eat some food? I'll say eat, sit,
right.
Stay.
Go outside.
Right. But she also might think that I'm just an insane man with a lot of, because I literally talk to her like a 4-year-old kid. Yeah. I can't help it because she's so cute.
What I love about this is before he got Maybell, he was one of those you pet people. I am never going to be a pet person
like you
people.
The dog will never sleep on the bed between us. Dog will never be on the couch.
I'm never going to do that.
Come on up, buddy. I feel like I'm being misrepresented here. If we check the tapes, my big fear was that I was afraid I wasn't going to love them as much as my friends did. Because the way people love their dogs, I've never had a dog before. And so I'm like, well, maybe I'm not equipped with that. Maybe I'm going to be an awful person because I'm going to be like, sit, stand, lay down, pee. No. And that's it. No, the moment she was in my arms, I was melted like butter on top of a hot stove.
We all do.
And it's changed how I view certain things, too. Like, animal cruelty in movies, I can't do it. Nope. I can't do it. Can't.
855-752-4842. Today is National Rescue Dog Day. You don't have to be a rescue parent in order to call. We really just want to hear how you talk to your pets. What's your pet voice? Come on.
You do it.
You do it. You know you do. 855-75-CIVIC. Brian from Milwaukee is brave. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for joining us. Do you have a pet voice?
Yeah, we have two St. Bernards, and with Aurora, she's an older dog, but we call her Sweet Pea.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all the time, it's, oh, hey, Sweet Pea, what's up, type of thing. And then there's Buster, who's a younger dog. He's another St. Bernard, but he's two, so he's still considered a puppy. And with him, I just call him Buddy. He's my little buddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is with him is when he's sleeping, he sounds like one of the Three Stooges, because we actually sit there. I kid you not. He was laying on the arm of the couch, and Aurora was laying right next to him on the other part of the couch. And when he started doing this, she like literally looked at him like, "What the hell?
What is wrong with you?
Who brought this dog?"
My wife actually sent me to get a sleep study because she thought I had sleep apnea from snoring. I was gone that night, and the snoring was happening.
It was the dog.
So I got hooked up to all this stuff and had an awful night's sleep, and the dog was snoring the whole time.
Reagan needs a CPAP.
Yeah, the dog is still in the bed, and I'm on the couch. But yeah.
Thank you, Brian. That's great. And good for you for having two St. Bernards.
My goodness,
wow.
Love them.
They're so beautiful.
I would just have its own couch for that. That's big dogs.
Own bedroom. 855-752-4842. It is National Rescue Dog Day, but regardless, we would like to hear the voice you use when you talk to your pet. Come on, you know you do it. We all do it.
Yeah.
855-75-CIVIC. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Do you have a dog or a cat?
Well, currently I do not, but when we did, I used to talk kind of in a little kidsy voice. But now I don't. I'm handicapped and can't really have a pet.
Sure.
So I talk to my daughter's dog, and he talks back, and we talk.
No, no, wait, Ollie, does the dog use dog words or people words?
No, he uses the same kind of doggy language. He'll talk back. Every time I call, he comes instinctively to her and sits and talks to me over the phone.
Oh, that's hilarious, Ollie.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
That is so funny.
No, it's Granny calling, and I don't know.
Just know. Checking it. Is it a husky that your daughter has? Because I know huskies are very, very vocal dogs.
Yeah. He is part husky.
Okay.
She has three dogs, two that are rescue dogs, and he is part husky. Yep.
That's so funny, Ollie. That's great. Thank you so much.
Now I have two questions. One, Chris, when you talk to your dog Reagan, do you talk in a Southern accent?
No, no. Okay, she needs to know who I am.
I know.
Mean, I'm very serious about this, Greg. I don't talk to kids in a baby voice. I mean, it's like, hey, get up there and get in your high chair.
Well, they're kids. Who cares?
They're kids. They're going to listen to adult talk.
Who cares about kids?
Dogs, they want to hear you as you. I'm my authentic self, and so is Reagan. That's why she comes up like that.
Meanwhile, she's been like, I don't know why he talks like that. He thinks I talk like this. This
is
my voice.
I'm from New York.
Kelvin, do you have a voice? Does anyone in your house have a voice they use with their dog, with the dogs?
I don't know that I have a specific voice. It's kind of just something that comes over me when I'm with the dog.
Which is?
I don't know. I can't replicate it if the dog's not.
It has to be in the moment.
Yeah. It has to be in the moment. But I agree with Chris. I kind of give voices. Well, Dolly, my corgi, doesn't really have a voice, but Willie's kind of dopey. He just, he's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't feel so bad.
Well, see, that's the thing. Is
oh,
that,
you should.
That's the thing is, if I gave a voice to Maybell, there'd be two voices. When she's with mom, it's, oh my God, you're the greatest person. I love you so much. You're the best mom in the world. When she's with me, she's like, would you just feed me already so I can go over there and sit down? Because you are a lot.
You're a lot.
I'm a lot with her because she's not the cuddliest dog. She'll cuddle in her ways. Mm-hmm. But those videos you see where they like jump on you and just lay down and they're with you, she doesn't do that. Maybe not yet. So sometimes I'll just be like, I'm just gonna scoop her up and hug her, and I'll hug her and she'll go, like, let go of me.
Too tight, Dad.
Yeah.
It's too tight. This leg, you're freaking me out. We only have a couple of minutes. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
We really want to hear your
voice. We know
pet
you
voice.
Have a voice.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And if you are ever looking for something where you need a laugh and you need a break and you need a little audio sorbet, just go to Google and search for talking huskies.
Oh, my God.
Because
hilarious.
There are videos of people having entire arguments with their dog.
Our husky was husky was the number one choice for us until someone sent us a few of their videos of how they vocalize.
Oh, yes.
And I can't be that guy in the neighborhood. I can't be the guy with the insane husky.
Dog?
Oh, my gosh. No, thank you.
We're going home right now.
Also, if you're interested, it's rescue day. So if you're interested in rescuing a dog, contact your local rescue. Contact Matic.
Contact Matic. They are swamped with dogs.
Yes,
Milwaukee Area Animal Domestic Control Commission. We'll put that in our show notes as well. Thank you, Chris Morrow, for stepping in.
Glad to be here. I won't be able to show my face at the dog park anymore. But
they'd be like, oh, she's a Southern Belle, huh? Okay.
Say hi to Reagan for us.
Yeah.
And she'll say hi back.
This shouldn't be a thing. It's on the way. Hold the Onions edition. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Mental health is healthcare. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worrywart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks again to our sales manager, Chris Morrell, for stopping in.
Oh, my gosh.
Today is National Rescue Dog Day. Well done, moms and dads. And just to pet owners everywhere, we love you. And we were talking about the voices that we use when we talk to our pets, because I think most of us do that. And then we started talking about huskies a little bit. Matt from Germantown just texted in, "Our husky is so sassy, argues whenever we want her to do things." Huskies have opinions.
They have opinions. They want to do things. I was at the dog park last week, and someone who had a husky, they were leaving, and that husky just got up on the sunroof. Like, and was half
on the car.
Body, yep. And as they were driving away, and like the half the body's out with his paws on the roof, just like looking at the world saying, "I'm a husky, deal with it."
I love them.
I love dogs so much.
They're fantastic.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday.
That's it, everybody.
I'm asking.
Have a good day.
I'm double checking to make sure. Yes, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we're going to be talking to Kathy Giorgio. She is a Waukesha North High School graduate, and she is an author, and she's actually on a wall of fame in her high school, but they don't stock her book.
No, they have banned her book.
So we're going to be talking to author Kathy Giorgio tomorrow in hour number two, right after the 10 o'clock news, to find out what the situation is. Award-winning author on their Hall of Fame in the school where she graduated here in Waukesha, and yet they will not carry her book.
Yeah, and she actually has a piece that's that's just published in something called People Magazine U.S. Not to, I don't think to be confused with People Magazine.
The actual People Magazine.
But she has also she has written a response to this, and yeah, we're looking forward to having her, and it's going to be a great conversation about, you know, where we're going with banning books again.
Yeah, banning books. That will come up tomorrow after the 10 o'clock news. I hope you can join us for that. It is getting late, Calvin. 10:55. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from NBC News. Joseph Lemoore with the byline. The headline reads, Texas man sues Whataburger for nearly $1 million because the restaurant didn't hold the onions.
That's it, folks. That's the whole story.
The lawsuit says Demery Ardell Wilson ate a meal that caused an allergic reaction because of onions that were in the burger, even after he requested that there be none. The petition filed in April says Whataburger failed to act in accordance with the appropriate standard of care, causing Wilson to suffer personal injuries. I'm not making fun of allergic reactions from food because they can be really deadly.
No.
This seems a little extreme.
Yeah.
The filing does not mention what Wilson ordered.
He ordered onions.
No, he... But the traditional Whataburger...
Yeah.
...features a beef patty with mustard, tomato, lettuce, pickles, and diced onions on a bun. Their website does have a page listing possible allergens, but not onion. His filing says there was a manufacturing defect in the food at the time it left Wilson's possession.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this sounds like a stretch. Adding that what he ate was defective because it was unsafe to eat and it was rendered unreasonably dangerous. The filing claims that Whataburger was negligent by providing Wilson with a meal including onions, and that the inclusion of onions rises to the level of a manufacturing defect. Mr. Wilson is seeking monetary relief over $250,000, but less than $1 million.
Ah, there it is.
Which includes damages, penalties, costs, expenses, prejudgment interest, and all other relief. Plaintiff expressly reserves the right to amend this damage calculation as discovery progresses. There is nothing in here that says that he had to be hospitalized or that what happened from this allergic reaction. We'll see what happens with this.
I mean, this is not the first time something like this has been, like, I think last year a woman died after eating food at Disney. And after they had made explicit, like, she is allergic to these things, she cannot eat these things
at all.
And she died of anaphylaxis. And Disney said they didn't owe them money because they had a Disney Plus account. And in the Disney Plus account agreement, you waive certain rights to legal actions. And they tried to apply that contract to their lawsuit. Disney paid up. They were like, oh, we look real petty right now for $50,000.
Yeah, I would say. The plaintiff's lawsuit against Whataburger is not the first time he has done this. In 2024, he filed a suit against a Sonic drive-in that got dismissed a month later.
I see.
So this might be Mr. Wilson's effort to hit on somebody who's going to pay up.
I mean, if I'm allergic to any food, even if I say no onions and I say I'm allergic, I'm still checking my burger. Checking my food because I don't want to go to the hospital and or die. So
that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabe wraps it up from 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New development in the New Orleans jailbreak. CBS's Katie Weiss says a jail worker has been arrested.
This maintenance worker is accused of helping the inmates turn off the water supply so that the inmates could then pull the toilet from the wall and successfully make their escape without getting drenched.
One of the escapees arrested yesterday, six still on the loose. President Trump went to Capitol Hill today to push reluctant Republicans to support his budget bill, urging them to stop fighting and get it done. CBS's Natalie Brand.
The White House is framing this as a potential tax increase on Americans if it fails to move forward.
The FDA says it will now require trials for future COVID shots in young, healthy Americans. Shots will still be approved for those 65 and older with at least one high risk factor. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.